Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's February 25th, 2025, and that means there's 10 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to explore this newfangled artificial intelligence, and we're going to see what kind of effects AI will have on the way we celebrate Christmas. I've also enlisted my sons to help us make some Christmas in a cup. A listener points out more things I missed when we discussed White Christmas last year, and I'll be counting down the top 5 ways you can save yourself a little money this Christmas. Okay, let's start the show! Greetings, Yule Believers, and welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who refers to Valentine's Day as Chocolate Christmas, Tim Babb. So, Valentine's was a little over a week ago, and while I love celebrating love, I really love celebrating Christmas, which is why I need a little Christmas now.
We need a
So, while Christmas is 2 months in our rearview mirror, it still manages to be cold outside to what I'm told is called winter. Well, to warm things up, I thought we could make a cup of hot cocoa. But not just any hot cocoa, this is a hot cocoa mug cake. If you're not familiar, a mug cake is where you put all the ingredients in a mug and microwave it. Then you eat it straight out of the mug. If you haven't heard of this, don't feel bad. Neither had I until my 10-year-old James introduced me to the concept last year. That's why I've asked him to come and help us with this cooking demonstration. And I have a sneaking suspicion my other son, his brother Michael, will be in the kitchen with us as well. But first, let me tell you what the recipe says you need to make this. First, you'll need a tablespoon of unsalted butter. Then the recipe calls for 2 ounces of bittersweet chocolate that's chopped up, but we didn't have that, so we used chocolate chips. Then you also need 1 large egg, 2 tablespoons of light brown sugar, which we didn't have, so we used dark brown sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, and a pinch of kosher salt. Oh, and this wasn't part of the recipe, but we threw a little marshmallows on top at the end. All right, let's go meet up with James in the kitchen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Excellent. All right, I'm here with James, our resident mug cake expert.
Yes. Well, we have some chocolate chips here. We also have some butter. We have an egg. Anyway, let's get into this.
So first step is to put the chocolate chips in the mug and the butter in the mug. And it says we then microwave it at 20-second intervals until it is smooth.
Smooth like butter.
I mean, literally, smooth like butter. 20 seconds.
Butter in there. Anyway.
However, once it is smooth, we have to let it sit for 5 minutes. So I think we'll turn off the recorder for that.
So let me get a chair.
James, why don't you tell us how you found out about mug cakes?
Okay. Because the reason I found out about mug cakes is actually on YouTube Shorts. So there's this girl on YouTube Shorts. She's like a story time baker. She makes food and stuff while telling stories. And she tried making a mug cake, but with like a different flavor of Oreos. And all she did was the flavor of Oreos and milk and mixed it together, put it in the microwave. And it looked so good. So I was like, I have Oreos. I could make that. And then it didn't. I mean, I think it worked the first.
No, it didn't. It was gross every single time.
That's
even with flour.
That's Michael's opinion over there.
Okay. Let me give it 10 more seconds. We did it for 2 20-second bursts, and technically the recipe says to use chocolate chunks or something like bittersweet chocolate chunks, and I use semi-sweet chocolate chips, so it's probably not going to be 100% right. But on the other hand, I didn't feel like going out and buying more stuff.
Yeah, we could go to Crumble and get the chocolate chunk cookie. What?
We're not going to Crumble.
Get a cookie and then remove
it. Yeah, and then pick the chocolate chunks out. Are they even bittersweet?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Ooh, is this brown sugar?
It is. Hold on, we're going to let this sit for 5 minutes, and then we'll come back to it.
5 minutes later.
I'd have been really smooth if it hit zero right then.
5 minutes later.
All right, now it's time to add the rest of the ingredients, which include...
this egg.
Our egg. And then our vanilla extract. Just pour that in. All right, so now we are, in case you are wondering, listening audience, we are mixing together the egg, the chocolate chips, the brown sugar, and the vanilla extract. All right, I think that's pretty mixed in. And now, maybe I will add, no offense, James, the baking powder, all-purpose flour, and cocoa powder with a pinch of kosher salt. So all that gets added here.
So now we will do some ASMR while my
father... No, we're not going to do ASMR while I'm doing this. Always make sure your son has a Slinky in the kitchen for optimal cooking conditions.
And ASMR.
All right, so now we've mixed together all the ingredients in the mug. I would say the great part about this is the only thing... I mean, if I hadn't pre-portioned the ingredients in little cups to be like a cooking show, the only thing we'd have to clean is this mug afterwards. Hold on, how do I... let me scrape... some of the chocolate has stuck to the spoon, and so I scraped it off another spoon, and now the chocolate is stuck to that spoon, so this is really going well.
Spoons!
And James knows the word spoons. Okay, so now we've got everything mixed in the mug, stir to combine, microwave on high until slightly underbaked in the middle, about 90 seconds. So that's what we're gonna do. My oldest said 80 seconds, because that's about 90 seconds. I'm gonna go 85 seconds and see if that works. All right, we've got ourselves a mug cake.
Woohoo! Yeah, that.
I assume we should wait to eat it because I imagine it's pretty piping hot right now.
We should put some marshmallows on top.
We can put some marshmallows on top. Not those. We put some ones that are already open. Hold on a second. All right. So we're going to pause while this cools down, and then we'll have a taste test. All right, the mug cake is out of the microwave. It is cooled down. James is having his first test as our mug cake expert. First, he is checking the texture with the top of the spoon. Does it meet your approval?
Yeah, okay. Let's just dig right in. Okay. The marshmallow's sticky.
Oh, yeah, we added marshmallows, which was not part of the recipe, but, you know...
we want to.
We play by our own rules here at the Christmas podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. It's not the most amazing thing I've ever had.
Need more sugar.
We put 2 tablespoons of brown sugar in there. What more do you need?
More sugar.
All right, fair enough. But cake and no cleanup, can life get better? I submit that it cannot. James, thank you for being here to help with this mug cake, hot cocoa mug cake experiment.
Yeah.
Well said. Thank you, Michael, for occasionally piping in from the couch. Give us a thumbs up. All right, back to you in the studio.
AKA cave.
Back to you in the Christmas cave. Now, before we move on, I should come clean that after we were done recording, we did not finish that mug cake. It just wasn't sweet enough for us. Maybe it was because we used dark brown sugar instead of light brown sugar. Maybe the chocolate chips being a replacement for the bittersweet chocolate was the problem. But if you're the kind of person who often has a dessert and says, oh, this is just too sweet and you can't finish it, this mug cake might be perfect for you. I've posted some pictures of our mug cake on our new Blue Sky account, @ChristmasPod. And I should also mention that we got this recipe from Good Housekeeping's Ultimate Kids Christmas Book of Crafts, Recipes, and Fun. I would say this falls under both recipes and fun, because we had a lot of fun making it.
If you're looking for the recipe, I posted it at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com in the show notes of this episode, but if you're looking for this book, you can do what I did and check out your local library. La la la! Now let's move on to our countdown feature, 5 Golden Things. 5 Golden Things. There's a lot of uncertainty going on right now with the economy. Things like tariffs and inflation have a lot of people worried. So I figured right now, while we have quite a few months to plan ahead, I would scour the web for tips on how to spend less this Christmas. So let the little Ebenezer Scrooge that lives inside of you out for a little bit to take advantage of these frugal Christmas tips.
Number 5.
Start planning and saving early. So what's the use of being all about Christmas all year long if you can't use that to your advantage? If you start stashing a little bit of money here and there now and keep doing it all year, those little bits will add up to a much bigger bit when it's time to do your Christmas shopping. And also keep an eye and ear open for gift ideas now. The earlier you have a gift idea, the more time you have to look around and find the best deal on that gift. Which brings me to...
Number 4.
Make use of coupons and deal finders. This isn't just for gifts. This is for everything from groceries to decorations. I know most of us just take the coupon mailers we get sent and chuck them straight in the recycling bin, but if you're looking to save money, take the time and go through them. You might find some deals in there for things you want or need. They also have apps that will find discounts for you or locate the cheapest places to buy certain things. U.S. News and World Reports made a list of the 12 best discount shopping apps. And wouldn't you know it, there's a link to that list in the show notes of this episode at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. Spoiler alert, the first app they suggest is the one for whatever store you shop at most often. They say many grocery chains have apps that make it easy to clip digital coupons, earn points for rewards, and browse sale items. And they might offer customized coupons based on your shopping habits.
Number 3.
Make a budget. I've seen this trend on TikTok where people are going to Disneyland or Disney World and they film themselves at the beginning of the day saying what their budget is for the day, and then it immediately cuts to them at the end of the day and they say how much they actually spent. Typically, these videos have people who wildly overspent on their budget. This is not what I mean when I put this money-saving tip for Christmas spending on this list. I'm hoping that if you take a video of yourself now saying what your budget is and you take a video of yourself at Christmas saying how much you spent, that you keep those numbers as close together as possible. Like, have a look at what your financial situation is and plan a Christmas budget accordingly. Then stick to it. If certain gifts or decorations or whatever start to push the budget, then maybe switch to a plan B or C.
Number 2.
Use cash. This is a good way to keep to your budget. It can be easy to spend, spend, spend when it's a credit card because paying that money is a future you problem. But if you limit yourself to only paying with cash or debit card, then you can only pay with the money that present you has. It's much easier not to overspend when you put that restriction on yourself.
Honorable mentions!
Potluck parties. This is more of a savings if you're the one who typically throws the party, but really it helps everyone. If no one person is on the hook for all the food and drinks and everyone just has to bring one or two things, that's a much lighter financial load. Plus, you'll discover some great foods this way. I had a job where we did a potluck Christmas party / white elephant gift exchange, and one of my coworkers brought in lumpia. I now love lumpia. It's like a Christmas present for my mouth.
Number 1.
Make lists / don't shop hungry. I'm combining these two because they actually have the same underlying point. Don't buy extra stuff. Stores want you to buy things. That's why they exist. But you don't need to buy everything they're trying to sell you. If you have a list and stick to the items on your list, you'll avoid the siren song of those enticing end caps or seasonal aisle displays. If making a list works for Santa, it can work for you too. And while Santa gets free milk and cookies, you're not going to be so lucky at the store. So make sure you're not shopping on an empty stomach, because when you do, all sorts of stuff is going to look good, and a lot of it is going to end up in your basket needlessly. And that's my list. But do you have any tips and tricks for saving money during the holiday season? Let us know via email at christmas@tancast.com. And now, let's hear from one of our listeners as I open up Santa Bab's mailbag.
Santa Bab, he is gonna read some emails from you, or tweets, or Facebook messages too. Santa Bab, he is opening up his mailbag tonight.
This letter is from Dale, who writes, "Hey Tim, I've heard you a few times on Tis the Podcast and Totally Rad Christmas, but I hadn't subscribed to your podcast. I went and looked up the podcast and listened to a recent episode on White Christmas, which is one of my all-time fave movies. Needless to say, I really enjoyed it and went back and listened to the whole catalog, which I have now finished. I have to say that the quality of the podcast from the very first episode was and continues to be outstanding. Great job." Well, thanks. So I waited to write till I finished all the episodes, and I have a couple of comments and a question. First, who the heck is Gene Autry? In all the head-to-head and tournaments, I think you only called him Gene Autry, pronouncing the T once. Gotta work on that enunciation, Tim. Yeah, that's fair, Dale, but if you've ever heard the outtakes of this show, I pronounce a lot of things wrong. Anyway, Dale goes on to say, second, neither you nor Alonzo mentioned my favorite odd thing about White Christmas. I'm not talking about the weird double take when they change the camera angle when the general first enters the restaurant and you see housekeeper Emma and granddaughter Susan step back in both clips. Nor am I talking about the weird overdub when Danny Kaye comments on his Cocker Spaniel. No, neither of those. I've been watching White Christmas for far longer than I can remember, and nearly every year for the past 40 years. In fact, it's my go-to movie after everyone has gone to bed and I'm wrapping gifts for my wife. It's also my excuse to be the first one in the house to see Christmas arrive at midnight. It was just a couple years ago that I suddenly realized that the fast tempo rehearsal of the Abraham number is the same melody from the unfortunately blackface Abraham song in Holiday Inn. The racial insensitivity aside, the lyrics for Abraham are actually pretty good. I was shocked that I'd never noticed it before, but there it was. So in addition to White Christmas itself, another of Berlin's tunes come over from Holiday Inn. Cool, huh? That is interesting, Dale, and you're the second listener to write in with what we left out of our episode on White Christmas. Maybe this will be a regular feature on the show from now on. Dale continues, okay, and finally, can you please clarify the pronunciation of your musical director, Kristen Nowicki's name? I swear I almost always hear y'all saying Chris Chin rather than Chris Tin, so I needed to ask. Okay, I can confirm that Kristen's name is pronounced awesome. I'm just kidding. But it is Kristen with a T. But as we covered a few moments ago when talking about Gene Autry, I clearly have issues with pronouncing names with T's in them. Dale wraps up by saying, again, great job on the podcast. Your lovely wife has a wonderful voice, and I love it when the boys and your mom get involved. Keep up the great work, and if y'all go to Christmas in the Park next season, check out my website, santadale.com. Well, thank you for writing in, Dale, and based on what you said about my kids, I hope you enjoyed that chaos in the kitchen you heard earlier, and let me tell you, there's going to be some treats, quote-unquote, in the outtakes later in the show. Also, thank you for suffering through all my mispronunciations and omissions. And now, a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
We're the elves from Tis the Podcast. I'm Anthony.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Tom. And Tis the Podcast is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Join us each week as we rank, review, and discuss all your favorite Christmas movies and television shows.
Sometimes we agree, sometimes it's a verbal brawl, but each and every week is guaranteed to be fun. Come join us.
Welcome back. There was a controversy last Christmas that I didn't get around to covering. It involved the world's leading supplier of carbonated high fructose corn syrup, Coca-Cola.
One of the most iconic brands, ringing in the holiday season. But take a closer look at the new Coca-Cola commercial, and you might notice that it was made with artificial intelligence. Social media certainly caught wind.
It shows how lifeless that Christmas commercial is.
It was supposed to be a reimagination of the iconic Holidays Are Coming campaign from 1995. But nearly 30 years later, the beverage behemoth, now facing backlash for taking the real people and the cheer out of the holidays.
Coca-Cola just put out an ad and ruined Christmas and their entire brand.
It's less festive, more creepy holiday vibes.
Yes, Coke made a Christmas commercial entirely with generative AI, and people were not having it. There was a flood of negative feedback. People didn't like the look of the ad with the uncanny valley of the human characters. People didn't like the feel of the ad with all the quick cuts to hide the flaws in the rendered characters and scenes. But most of all, people just didn't seem to like the idea that the ad was created by AI. With Niraj Arora, the chair of marketing research and education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, saying, "Your holidays are a time of connection, a time of community, time to connect with the family." And that's sort of a big part of what the holidays are about. But then you throw AI into the mix, and that is not a fit. That is not a fit with holiday timing. So I got to thinking, with talk of AI everywhere, from our phones to our jobs to even our government, maybe it might be worth looking into what effects AI will have on Christmas. And I figured, why not go to the source? So I put in the prompt, write a podcast about the effects of AI on Christmas into one of the AI apps that I won't name because they don't sponsor this episode, and the results was, eh. So I went to a different AI app that I also won't name because they still aren't sponsoring this episode, and I put the same prompt in, write a podcast episode about the effects of AI on Christmas, and the effects were still not that great. So what I did is I stitched the two outputs together and created a sort of Frankenstein's monster that I'm calling the AI Christmas Bot 5000.
Merry Holidays. Bleep, blorp, bleep.
Okay, the AI didn't write that part. I did, because bleep blorp is always comedy gold. But let's get to it, Christmas Bot. We want to talk about how AI is going to change the way we celebrate Christmas. So let's start with the basics. What is artificial intelligence?
AI is a branch of computer science that deals with the creation of intelligent machines that can perform tasks that would normally require human intelligence.
Okay, well, that's a very AI answer, but I think when most people think of AI, they think of something like Jarvis in Iron Man.
Jarvis.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
You know what to do.
The clean slate protocol, sir?
Screwed, it's Christmas. Yes. Yes.
But that's not what we have now. See, there are three levels of AI. Jarvis would be an example of super AI, where it can reason, it can learn, it can problem solve, all on its own. It would have emotions, a personality, and is purely theoretical. Yeah, we don't have anything like that yet. The level below super AI is general AI. This one doesn't have thoughts or opinions of its own, but is able to learn new skills or apply current skills in different contexts without additional programming from humans. This would be more like the computer on the Starship Enterprise. And much like that starship zooming through the final frontier, general AI is fiction. Yeah, it's also theoretical. We don't have that yet.
Insufficient data. Please specify parameters.
So that leaves us with the third tier, narrow AI, or what some call weak AI. This AI can only perform one task or narrowly related set of tasks. It can analyze a lot of data and then learn from that data to produce specific results, but only based on the programming it was given. This is what all the AI we interact with is. It's what powers self-driving cars, it's how the TikTok algorithm knows to show me videos of Christmas puppies and Disney theme parks, and it's what some students are using to write error-filled essays about Huckleberry Finn instead of just reading the book! So now we have a better understanding of what AI is. How is AI going to change the way we celebrate Christmas?
Well, for one thing, AI is going to make it easier to shop for gifts. The holiday season, of course, has always been a time of gift-giving. And if you've done any shopping recently, you know that AI is everywhere when it comes to picking out the perfect present. Have you ever noticed how, after you browse for something online, say a cool pair of headphones or a new book, suddenly your social media feed is filled with ads for that very thing? Or how your favorite online stores seem to know exactly what to recommend, right down to that quirky personalized gift? Well, that's AI at work.
Oh, I just assumed they were spying on me via my phone, based on the news stories I've heard recently. Don't let me stop you, Christmas Bot. Continue.
AI-powered recommendation engines are now an essential part of online shopping. They use algorithms that analyze your past purchases, browsing history, and even the behavior of other shoppers to suggest products you might like. It's like having a personal shopping assistant, but it's happening in the background without you even realizing it. It makes shopping quicker and arguably easier.
I will say, last Christmas, social media suggested something to me that I ultimately decided to get for my mom, a Mickey Mouse-shaped cake baking pan, and she liked it. But the best gift ideas come from knowing the person and listening to them and caring about what they like. Another thing I got my mom last year was a tour of Warner Brothers Studios. But I had to seek that out and do my own research to find out that they had a Turner Classic Movies tour that I knew my mom would love because she loves old movies. More recently, for Valentine's Day, I got my wife a bunch of mechanical pencils. There's not an AI in the world that would suggest that as a Valentine's present for your wife. But let me tell you, it's all about knowing your spouse because she loved them.
It's a balance, isn't it? You're still the one deciding, but AI is there to help steer you in the right direction.
Well, I guess that's true.
Now, let's talk about another way AI is transforming the holiday season. Through home decorations and ambiance. Have you ever wished you could just sit back, relax, and let your Christmas lights do the work? Well, with AI-powered smart lights, you can do just that. Thanks to voice assistants like Amazon's Alexa, Google Assistant, and even smart devices like Philips Hue, decorating for Christmas has never been easier. You can control your lights with simple voice commands, set up schedules, or even sync them to music. Imagine telling Alexa, set the lights to Christmas mode, and having your entire home transform with a few words. There are also advanced AI-driven Christmas light shows where the lights flash and move in rhythm with holiday music. These interactive displays don't just decorate your house, they turn it into a dynamic experience. It's like your home is alive with the spirit of Christmas, responding to every note of the song. Pretty cool, right?
I mean, sure, but the labor of decorating is not what to do with the decorations once they're up. It's putting them up in the first place. Unless there's an AI robot that can hang my lights, I don't really care that much.
And then there's AI in the world of holiday entertainment. You've probably heard AI-generated music by now. It's everywhere in pop culture, and it's even started to influence Christmas tunes. Some AI programs are capable of analyzing thousands of holiday songs and creating new compositions based on patterns and styles. That means, yes, there are now Christmas carols created entirely by artificial intelligence. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. These AI systems can generate music that sounds as familiar as the classics without a single human composer involved. You could have a personalized AI-generated Christmas playlist that's unique to your preferences, tailored to the exact vibe you want for your holiday party.
Yeah, I've heard some of these AI Christmas songs. Let's roll Under the Christmas Lights.
In a quiet little town where the bells all chime, two hearts found the rhythm at Christmas time. A note was left by the mistletoe. Meet me where the carolers' voices glow.
It's got a decent vibe, but who leaves notes by the mistletoe? Mistletoe is usually hanging up pretty high, and last I checked, carolers' voices don't glow. It reminds me of Stephen Colbert's Another Christmas Song, where he mixed up the Christmas iconography.
Santa Claus singing on naughty snow, reindeer ringing in the mistletoe, the manger's on fire, the holly's aglow, hear the baby Jesus crying, ho, 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 hey, it's another Christmas song.
The difference is, Stephen did it to be funny. AI did it because it has no soul, no divine spark of inspiration. It's really just listening to a bunch of Christmas songs, chopping them up, mashing the bits together, and spitting something out. It's the Chicken McNuggets of Christmas music. And I also worry about the implications of where they could go with this in the future, because a few years back, someone used AI to create an entire stand-up bit by George Carlin, who's been dead for several years. But they did it in his voice and with jokes that were supposed to sound like jokes that he would have written nowadays. As much as I would love to hear new Christmas music from Burl Ives, I don't know that I want AI-generated zombie Burl Ives to come back from the grave and sing a disjointed Christmas song about frosted reindeers and jolly Christmas ornaments. I personally would rather hear a song written by an actual human who was inspired by actual feelings, memories, and nostalgia. Someone is possibly writing the next great Christmas song right now, but if people are satisfied and the marketplace is saturated with a synthesized Frankenstein Christmas song that you can get for free, why pay the living, breathing musician? Sorry, but narrow AI is never going to create the next great bit of Christmas entertainment. By definition, AI is not bringing anything new to the table. It's just regurgitating what it's analyzed. AI could never give us Bing Crosby's White Christmas, or Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, or even the made-for-podcast Christmas movie A Bomb for Christmas.
And what about the most magical part of Christmas? Spending time with loved ones. This is where AI's role becomes a bit more controversial. On one hand, there are tools like AI-powered video calls and virtual assistants that help organize family get-togethers, or even chatbots that remind you about important dates, so you don't forget a family member's birthday or holiday gathering.
Okay, I think we've already had calendar technology for some time that can remind me when important dates are. Spoiler alert, the 25th of December. I think I got that one on lock. But I thought maybe the AI was glitching when it said AI-powered video calls, because what is that? I let an Uncanny Valley avatar of me chat with my aunt while I go have a nap? But I guess there is stuff AI can do on a video call, like improving communication quality, noise cancellation, virtual backgrounds, and real-time transcription. So that could definitely help if we have to have another Christmas in lockdown and we have to do all our communicating by Zoom calls.
AI is going to challenge some of our traditional Christmas customs. For example, it's possible that AI could one day replace Santa Claus.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Slow your roll, Ethernet Jack Skellington. We started this by pointing out AI is good at suggesting gift possibilities, not necessarily picking the best specific gift. Plus, how would AI fly the sleigh? I think, much like self-driving cars, AI should stay in its lane.
I agree. I think that AI is going to enhance our Christmas celebrations, not replace them.
All right, well, you came around quickly, but we didn't even get into some of the other drawbacks of AI that aren't Christmas-related. Like, it uses a ton of energy, which makes it bad for the environment. It has all sorts of biases, blind spots, and issues with actual truth. And there are real privacy concerns with the data collected to train the AI. For instance, if you have an iPhone, Apple AI is using your data to train it. And if you want to opt out of this, you have to go to your settings and opt out one app at a time for every single app on your phone. And I gotta say, I thought this episode was gonna be super easy when I had the idea for it. I figured I'd type, write me a podcast episode about the impact of AI on Christmas, and I could just read the results. But the only parts of this episode that were written by AI were the parts in
this robot voice.
I still had to do all the actual research to flesh this out into a real episode, because, The AI results were very lacking. Plus, I came up with that hilarious bleep blorp joke. So clearly the human element is indispensable for Christmas. So while this technology is relatively new and certainly interesting, I don't know if it's a great idea to use it too much at Christmas. It's just being pushed a lot because a lot of companies have decided to invest a lot into it, and now they're shoving AI in things that don't really need AI. But you can just use it sparingly where it helps you and ignore it where it doesn't. And based on the reaction to that Coca-Cola video, I don't think it's going to be taking over Christmas anytime soon. In fact, to bring us full circle, I'll end with a quote from Forbes senior contributor Danny DiPlacido in an article he wrote about the AI Coke commercial. There's a reason Santa's workshop is depicted as a place where toys are crafted by hand. That's how the magic happens.
And as the seasons come and go, the Christmas spirit's what we know. In every heart it shines so bright, a spark of love through day and night.
And that's our show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out the show notes at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com for the hot cocoa mug cake and the U.S. News and World Report list of the 12 best discount shopping apps. Also, my apologies, my mom and I were too busy running around the Warner Brothers studios and I didn't have her re-record our outro yet, so she won't mention that we are now on Blue Sky, but we are. We are at Christmas Pod on Blue Sky. And speaking of Blue Sky, Tom from Tis the Podcast put together a Christmas Podcast Network starter pack. Basically, if you follow this starter pack, you'll be following more than a dozen of your favorite Christmas podcasters on Blue Sky all in one swoop. So I'll drop that link in the show notes as well. Okay, that's all for today, but until next time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2025.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are at Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
And before we start, you might be wondering, why am I wearing a very nice waiter.
Yeah, they can't see you, dude. You have to tell them. You have to out yourself and say you're at your pajamas and 2:52 in the afternoon.
That's Michael's opinion. Over there. The person who cooked stuff last time.
Oh.
Where there was cooking involved. He's the critic eating a Pop-Tart. Is that copyrighted?
Pop-Tart is a trademark thing, but you can still talk about it.
Okay, good. They're good. Pay us. Right now.
I don't think Pop-Tart is going to advertise with us based on this cooking segment where you say derisively, that guy's over there eating a Pop-Tart. And then our vanilla extract. Just pour that in.
I'm not going to drink this because I don't think it tastes good when you just drink it raw. It's raw!
All right, Gordon Ramsay. And our brown sugar. Okay, here's an important tip. When you're pouring the brown sugar, pour it in the cup, not over the cup and to the left of the cup. That will make it very hard to enjoy the cup. But make sure if you're recording a podcast that you have your other son walk by crinkling something while you're recording what you're saying. That always makes it really easier for the listeners to hear. All right. The mug cake is out of the oven. Let's try that again without James hurting himself doing the dangerous task of sitting down. Okay, the mug cake is out of the oven and is cooled down. Microwave oven. It's still called an oven. It counts. All right, take three. All right. I think that spoonful might be too much for your mouth. Well said. All right, well, I'm going to put the recipe for this in the show notes of this episode.
Sharnards.
I'll put the recipe for this in the show notes of this episode at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com.
ASMR.
And James is going to do ASMR scissors. Back to you in the Christmas cave. Oh, back to mess all over the table. Which is why I need a little Christmas now. I also need to do with my voice changing. Oh, don't you hate it when puberty hits in your late 40s? If you're not familiar, a mug cake is where you take... I'm so trying to make sure I hit the G in mug cake so no one thinks I'm saying mud cake, because that would be gross. But I'm so focused on that G, I'm not pronouncing anything else right in the sentence. Good thing there's no T's in here, right, Dale? There is a lot of uncertainty going on. There's a lot of uncertainty going on with whether or not I can complete the sentence. I don't know if I can. Make use of coupons. Coupons? Coupons? Oh, no. Dale, what say you? You're going to be my go-to pronunciation guy from now on. I've been watching White Christmas for longer than I can remember, and nearly every year for the past 40 years. In fact, it's my go-to movie. Did I say past 4 years or past 40 years? That's going to make a big difference. I better go back and make sure I loop that correctly. And speaking of Blue Sky, Tom from Tis the Podcast put together a Christmas podcast network. Woo! I don't know why I'm trying to get to the end of that sentence before I've started it, but it's really making it hard to say. And speaking of Blue Sky, Tom from Tis the Podcast put together a Christmas podcast network